Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning, the second Sunday morning of 2018, Lord God. And we thank you that we are here. We thank you that we are blessed of God. We thank you that we are blessed and highly favored, Lord God. That is our proclamation, Lord, as we go into 2018, Lord God. Father, even if we see the Red Sea in front of us and Pharaoh's army behind us, Lord God, we know, Lord God, that you have us. We know that you are our captain, Lord God, and you are our captain that cannot fail because your name is victory. So, Lord, we just keep looking to you, keep looking to the victory, oh, Lord, because we are going to win this battle in Jesus' name, the captain of the host's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I am so excited about God. I'm excited about the things that the Lord is doing, the things that the Lord is going to do. And I'm not even talking about on the outside. I'm excited about what he's doing in me. You know, God is doing a work in his people. And as we were talking about last week, you know, we talk about the end time revival. Folks, it's going to happen inside you. Okay, so don't be looking for the tent meeting, okay? Be looking for the change within you and the revival that the Holy Spirit is going to bring in you as you press into him, as you pray, as you get serious, you know, even more serious about our faith. We need to grow up in God. And I thank God that I'm sure most of you can say, last year this time, you are different today than you were last year this time. Praise God. You know, I thank God for that. I can say I believe I'm different. I believe I'm better in the Lord. So thank God for that growth. I just want to remind you, in a few weeks, we're going to be starting War Room February. We're going to be starting War Room. And get ready, guys. This is going to be a blaster, okay? We're going to be starting War Room. Again, Virginia can order you your books if you need it. I will have handouts, as always. I will have handouts every week. But if you want to get the books, there's two books, the War Room Bible Study, and then there's the Battle Plan of Prayer. Both of these are by the Kendrick Brothers, and you can get both of them off Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You may be able to get them at Greatest Gifts as well. You know, but if you need someone to order them for you, Virginia has a few copies, actually, if you want to buy them from her, and they're how much?
$14.
They're $14. She has the Battle Plan of Prayer if you want to. This is something that you want in your library. So again, we have flyers at the table. So if you want to take flyers and give them to friends, and you know, we got a sign up table at the counter. So we're really excited about just taking back what the devil has stolen. Folks, I don't know about you, but I am tired of that fella. And I'm ready to take back some land in my home, in my work, and everything. I'm like, you know what? Okay, it's on now. It's on in Jesus' name. It's on. I'm not going out there by myself. It's on in Jesus' name, okay? So today, as we finish up the last lesson of living and praying in Jesus' name, we're on lesson 31, Jesus' name, the captain of the host of the Lord. And again, just a little review. The key verse is from Joshua 5:14, where it says, "Now Joshua was by Jericho. He looked up, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or our adversaries?' And hallelujah, he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?'" And I'm telling you, as we have said, there's a whole bunch in that God is not about your agenda. You know, so don't ask God if he's for you. You need to be finding out, am I for you, God? And are you on God's side? Not if God is on your side, because he's calling the shots. He is the captain and not us, Lord. And we just are grateful for the way Joshua responded, even though he had millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people that he had to get into this promised land. But yet when he heard the word of the Lord, he worshiped God. He didn't come into an explanation and say, "Well, you brought us all across the wilderness and, you know, you should be for us." No, he worshiped God, and that's what he calls us to do, that we fall on our face and we worship him, because God does not owe us anything. Do you understand that? God does not owe us anything. The fact that you're here right now, breathing and living, is only by his grace and only by his mercy. It's not because he owes it to you. Joshua understood that. And the next thing he said, "What does my Lord say to his servant, and that's where we are. You know, we were talking about how the children of Israel stopped and they paused before they went and took Jericho, and they rededicated themselves, their lives to Christ, I mean to God, before they went into the promised land to take down Jericho. So today we're talking about praying this name, the captain of the host of the Lord. And our key verse on this area is from 1 John 3:22. And it reads, "And we receive from him whatever we ask because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments to do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us." So as we go in this and we're praying this name, we want to look at our first segment that says practical lessons for personal prayer abound in Joshua's Jericho encounter with Christ. His captain, his captain. That's found in Joshua 5, what we just read. And these lessons are valuable for us living and praying effectively in the name of our Lord and Captain. And that's from our book. And don't you want to start praying effectively? I mean, I don't want my prayers to be hitting the ceiling. So guys, we're talking about how are we going to pray effectively? Because if you're not praying effectively, you're not winning the battle. So we want to learn, how do you pray effectively? How do you possess the land? How do you take down Jericho in your life? And that's what this is about. So as we are praying, we want to look at some of the things that we have to look at as we want to learn how to pray effectively. First, never enter a battle without consulting the captain. I can't say that clearly. God is not working your agenda. You are working God's agenda. And sometimes Christians, we can get so bold and we can get so arrogant before God, you know, that we think that he is supposed to do our bidding. God is not your bellhop. We are working for him. We are his children. You know, so we got to first get our mind. We got to shift our mind, because our mind sometimes somehow has shifted over to the fact that God was working for us, but we're working for him. Obedience to this first step is essential to your victory. We are so easily moved by our emotions that we often allow them to dictate our first moves in battle. Our first moves can lead us down a slippery slope or move us to higher ground where we have an advantage over our enemy. Your first moves are important when something happens. Often when something happens, we are immediately tempted to retaliate within our emotions, which leads us to respond in most cases outside of the command of our captain. It's true. Our human emotions. To overcome this hindrance to victory, you must first recognize that as a human being, you are vulnerable to reacting within your emotions. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you are. That you will get emotional. You know, sometimes it's like when we get in our, you know, we don't seem to understand this when we're when we're teenagers. And as we're, when you're children and teenagers and even in the 20s, they don't seem to understand. They think their emotions are justified, and their emotions. Acting in emotions are okay. But as you get older, you begin to understand that my emotions are not always leading me down the right path. I have made serious mistakes because of my emotions. I have made bad decisions because of my emotions. So we have to understand that we are emotional beings. That's the way God made us, that we are emotions. You cannot divorce yourself from them, but you can overcome this aspect of your humanity within Christ. In the prayer closet, he will give you true power to overcome your emotions, not erase them, but overcome them. We must understand the strategies of our true enemy. He is well aware of our emotional weakness and will use it to exploit and control us. Satan knows humanity. He knows how to push our buttons, especially our emotional ones. And he knows that person in your life. You know who they are. There might be several of them that can push your buttons. You know, you just see them coming, you know, and you just know, you cringe. When you see them coming, your blood pressure goes up. As soon as you see them coming, you know who they are. And Satan knows, okay, how am I going to get Mary to act up today? so I can get Karen all flustered? How can I do it? He knows it. So the emotions may come. You may feel all kind of emotions, but in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can overcome. You do not have to let your emotions dictate to you what you're going to do, because this is a war. You got to understand, you're in a battle. We're going to talk about, I'm getting ahead on the lesson. We're talking about this, the emotions. So therefore, when something happens or you hear something troubling that comes into your life, the first thing you do is stop and pray. I'm glad God is always available. He says, pray without ceasing. I understand why. That's why you got to pray without ceasing. Because the enemy is right there with every little incident to get you off track. So the first thing you do is stop and pray. If you have to excuse yourself for a minute and say, I just excuse me, go to the bathroom, do whatever you need to do. But go and stop and pray and bring the Holy Spirit into the situation. Ask him to be a part of this. Many times, the enemy and people want you to respond immediately to troubling news and incidences, but walk in the wisdom of Christ. He'll try to rush you. What are you going to do? You ever seen the news media when something happens to somebody famous? Like, what do you do? What do you think? So they can print it up and they always love that emotional reaction. Oh, they got the camera. The poor woman is had a loss and she's crying and they got the cameras right in her face. Oh, yeah. Because they want to see that. And the enemy is behind that too. He just wants to see you emote. He wants to see you react. He does not want to see you pray. He does not want to see you walk in the wisdom of Christ. I'm just reminded of the story in John 8 with a woman caught in adultery and she was brought to Christ. And remember that story? She was brought out there by this crowd of people. And, she was thrown down. And then they stopped because it was all a trap. And they came to Christ and said, what should be done to her? The law says that she should be stoned. What do you say should happen to her? And what did Christ do? He sat there and he wrote in the dirt. And we speculate, why? What was he doing writing in the dirt? They're asking him a question. And he's sitting there and he's writing in the dirt. And the fact that they wrote it down tells me it must have taken a minute or two that they wrote. Why? He didn't just respond. He just sat there and he wrote in the dirt. And it was just, I'm like, boy, he's pausing. He didn't let the enemy just push him into some reactionary answer. Remember, he was human too. He had all the emotions. The scripture says he felt everything that we felt, but was without sin. And I thought about that. What was he doing as he was sitting there riding in the dirt? And I believe he was just consulting. He was just talking to his father. Talking to his father. Don't let the enemy push you into reaction. He responded. And then after he finished doing what he was doing in that dirt, he responded within the wisdom of God to both. And he ministered to both the accusers and the accused. See, when you walk in the wisdom of God, you minister to everybody. Even those that are blaming and pointing the finger, if you would just stop and pause and say, Holy Spirit, just give me the word, you can minister to everybody in the room. Because Jesus got up and says, you without sin cast the first stone. And it made the accuser stop and think and put down the stone. We need to stop blaming people. And they got ministered to. And then he walked over to the woman and he said, woman, go and sin. Where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone. And he goes, I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. Everybody gets ministered to. When you learn to first consult God about everything, guys. And I don't bite my tongue when I say everything, because the enemy is busy. He's cunning. He's trying to get into any crack in your armor. He's trying to get in. So always pray about everything. Thank him about everything. I've just learned, Lord, I just got to stay in prayer. I got to stay sober because the enemy is prowling around seeking who he can devour. So we got to be sure that we're consulting the captain. The next point in your lesson said, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This is from Ephesians 2:12. If you do not understand this aspect of your battle, then you will be swinging in the air and missing your target every time. You have got to understand this is a spiritual battle. When people come at you saying kind of crazy stuff, Barb, where did that come from? You've got to understand, this is not a flesh and blood fight. Don't get upset with them. You have to learn how to use your spiritual armor. And if you're fighting in the flesh, something spiritual, and you're fighting in the flesh, you're just like a five-year-old trying to fight a soldier. You know, just swinging in the air. The soldier is all skilled. You ever seen when someone knows martial arts and somebody doesn't know what martial arts trying to hit them and they're just don't have anything in their hand, but they just know how to win the battle. They take that person out. Why? Because they have skills. They have skills. They know how to use their arms, their legs, their body to take down a person. You know, so we got to know the same thing. If we're trying to fight in the flesh, we're going to get mad and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to retaliate like that. You're already losing the battle. But when you learn how to use the weapons of your warfare, as the scripture says, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you've got to understand how to fight the good fight of faith within the weapons of your warfare. Yes, you are a child of God, but if you do not pray and you don't study your word, and then you have no fighting skills. I'll tell you right now, if you're not praying and you're not studying the word, you have no fighting skills. You're just like that five-year-old. And you ever seen the big soldier holding the head of somebody? They're swinging and the soldiers are standing there. And they're swinging. You ever seen that scene? They're just swinging with their little arms and the soldier is just standing there. That's the way Satan's doing a lot of us. He's just doing whatever. He's running roughshod over us. And we're just swinging, thinking we're fighting. But we're not. We're fighting in the flesh. So again, we got to come time. We got to back up, go back to the planning room, the war room, and get a different strategy, because our strategy is in the flesh. And we got to get our strategy in the spirit. The next point says you must ask your captain to open your spiritual eyes to see the evil spirits that are operating within or around human beings. And then ask your captain for his strategy to defeat this enemy. That strategy would involve the weapons of spiritual warfare, which are prayer and the word of God. You are not going to win it by your eloquent speech. You're not going to win it by just retaliating. I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to report you. You know, sometimes you have to do what you need to do your job, whatever. But folks, know that that will not win the battle. You have to use the weapons of your warfare. When Jesus saw the demonic spirit that was trying to trap him with the woman of adultery was brought to him. So you have to be able to see when Satan is laying a trap for you. And often he will lay a trap for a believer. You got to know, as a child of God, you got a big target on you. And the enemy knows you. That coworker or that family member may not know that you're a Christian or a believer, but Satan knows. He knows who belongs to Jesus Christ. And you've got a big, gigantic, glowing target on you. So he is always setting traps. You know, that's why you have to arm yourself day after day. You know, don't step out without arming yourself, or you will be stepping into his traps. How many times have you come home and you know you done stepped in one of the enemy's traps? I have. Like, why didn't I keep my mouth shut? Why did I respond like that? Because a trap was set and you fell in it, falling into arguments, falling into poor decisions, because, again, consulting with the captain before you go out, so you know when the enemy is setting a trap for you. So first, we never go into battle without consulting the captain. Secondly, worship the Lord in reverence and humility before seeking his guidance. You know, you got to revere your captain. You know, if you don't revere your captain, you don't have any respect for your captain, you're not going to listen to your captain. You know, so you have to have a respect and a reverence for God. You can't be all casual with him, but you got to come to him respectful. Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, and some of us, we think we know. We got our skill sets. We all arrogant. We've got, after all, we've got a degree, and we think we're all that. So it's hard for us to come even to Christ in respect because we think we know better. You know, we got this idea, oh, you lived 2,000 years ago. You don't know what's going on in 2018. Oh, I love it. As I said, he doesn't need any intel. He's got all the information. You're the one that's at a loss. But so we have to come to him with respect and reverence and humility to seek his guidance. It is important to recognize the relevance and power of this scene in Joshua 5:14. The head of the Israelite army bowing in humility and worship before the Lord before the battle, revering him as the Lord of all, even before asking for the message, even for asking for the instructions on how to take down Jericho, he is worshiping. Like, I just worship you. I come to you. I respect you. I revere you, Lord. What? You know, before you even tell me anything, I just want you to know that I respect you and I revere you. And even when the captain of the Lord told Joshua he was on neither side, Joshua bowed to whatever cause the Lord was on. And that's a hard word. When God's like, I'm not in that, what you're doing. You're way down the road. You've been working on this for 6 months. And then you finally decide to pray about it. And the Lord says, I'm not in that. I can't remember my sister. She started this business years ago. And it was a transportation business. A friend of her told her, oh, it's a great idea. Oh, you can make some money if you can buy vans and transport people to their medical offices that can't drive, and Medicaid will pay you and you'll get, you can bill and all of this. So she jumped into this business, invested, tens of thousands of dollars in vans. She bought several vans and all this stuff. And she was, and the business was just kind of getting started, but it just never took off. Never took off. And she said, finally, I prayed. Finally. I prayed. And she said, the Lord told her, I never told you to do that. Oh, man, isn't that a ton of bricks to fall on you after you've invested all this money and all this time and all this effort? She had hired people and all this stuff. And she was working another job. In the meantime, while the business grew, and the business never grew. In fact, she was using her paycheck to pay the people that were working. Oh, beloved. And she said, oh, when the Lord told her that, she knew she had to shut down. She even lost her car. I mean, she just lost. I mean, and she wouldn't mind me telling you all this because she wants this as a testimony. In fact, she sent me one of the shirts that one of the drivers wore. You know, it had the little emblem on there with their business. And she said, I'm sending this as a sign that this was my Ishmael. That's exactly what she said. She said, this was my Ishmael. So I'm going to send you a shirt so you remember. I have that shirt to this day. I was like, oh my God, I just got to remember. Know when you're dealing with Ishmael, guys. And as much as you have invested in it and did all this time, if God has said, no, that is not what I have for you. God had her to go in another direction. You know, so we've got to know when God is saying, I am not for you. I'm not in that. You know, and that we submit to it. We bow to whatever the Lord says. We worship God in any and all circumstances, and we humble ourselves and line up with his will, even when it is different from our own. Even when it's different from our own, it breaks our heart because you really wanted that thing. You really wanted that relationship. You really wanted that job. You really wanted that house. You really wanted that car. And God said, no, that's not what I have for you. And trust me on this one, guys. Do not try to do it without him. Do not, because his hand won't be in it. And I'm telling you, that enemy of yours, the devil, will be right there to take you down. I'm telling you, you've got to understand the war, that you are in a war. And when you're going to do something without God, okay, the armies come. His army comes with him. And you're out there by yourself on the battlefield. with the enemy. And he's going to take you out and take you down. If God has said no, as much as it hurts you, you know, cry for a day or two and then get with the program. Okay? Get with God and watch him make it all right. He does make it all right. He will restore. You know, he will restore. Even the things we do in our mistakes, I love God because he restores. Even the things we mess up, I love him. I'm going to restore. You know, and he restored. He restored my sister. He restored her, you know, because she turned toward him. The scriptures teach that we tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Oh my goodness. We got to make this thing obedient to Christ because your flesh is crying out to have its way, and you've got to make it obedient to Christ. The captain of the Lord does not do our bidding. We do his. Even when we are disappointed and God does not come the way when we think he should come, we still follow his way. We still worship him. We still worship him. The next point says we worship God through our tears. We worship God through our disappointments and our fears, knowing that we can trust him with our lives. Hallelujah. As his children, we continue to worship. We continue to bless. We continue to come to church. We continue to have Bible study. We continue to pray, even when it didn't work out the way we thought. When he is blessing, we worship. And when we're waiting on him, we worship. When our hearts are broken, we worship. And we trust him. I'm telling you, I know some of you have been through that. You know, you just heartbroken, but you're still worshiping God. I didn't think it was going to turn out like this, but I'm worshiping. I remember driving down the street one day. We had involved our center, and I thought we were going to get this building. I thought we were going to get it, and it didn't come through. And I was so hurt. I was just boo-hooing, crying, driving down the street, just crying, you know. But I'm telling you, the worship of God came out of my heart. I mean, it was just like, came out of the air. Just worship me. Worship me. Heartbroken. Worship me. Worship me. And I'm so glad I did, because he blessed us with something better. He blessed us with something better, because he knows, as I said, he has all the information. Mm-hmm. He blessed us with something better. So even when your heart is broken, you trust and you worship. And I believe that the worship from the broken heart is the sweetest worship before God. So don't waste. There's a book that a friend of mine gave me one time. It's called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. I think I may have brought it in. Don't waste your sorrows. So when your heart is broken, worship him. I'm telling you, I believe that is the sweetest worship. When you've had a loss, when you've had a tragedy, and you look up and you say, Lord, I praise your name. I praise your name. You're like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I believe it is the sweetest praise and the sweetest worship before God. I believe it touches the heart of God on your behalf. And I believe God says, I am going to be sure I bless that one. I'm going to be sure I bless that one. Because it is the sweetest worship. And he sees that you trust him. So secondly, we worship. Thirdly, pursue patterns of personal purity as a result of encountering Christ. Yes. Purity is essential to productive praying. And that's from our book again, page 183. Purity is essential. Folks, you can't have this hidden stun. You can't have these little stinky, dirty closets in your life that you don't want God to mess with. You don't want God to touch. Folks, if you want effective prayer in your life, if you want to win battles and win victories, you got to clean out some of those closets you've got. Some of us got stuff. We don't want God to mess with it. But he smells the stench coming from it, folks. He smells that stench. And he's like, I want to bless you, but you got a stench going on. And I'm trying to clean you up, and you won't let me in that closet. So there's some things that we've got to bring before God so we can purify ourselves. Never allow pride. There it is again. Pride, pride, pride. Or unrepentant sin to get in the way of your victory. It's not worth it. Humble humble yourself. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, your pride is never going to win. Because God can work in eternity. You got just so many years, okay? Your clock is ticking. But God can wait an eternity on you before you let your pride down. It's never worth it. Purify yourselves before Christ and walk on holy ground. Remember, Joshua walked on holy ground towards your victory. Purity before God on the other side of purity. Purity before God is right on the other side of repentance and often forgiveness. That's a hard one. See, that's where we get hooked up all the time. Our pride. We can't forgive. Forgive. Let it go. It's not even worth it. Let it go. God is holy and can never endorse sin in my life or yours. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. I don't care if I'm up here teaching Sunday school every week. God is not going to endorse my sin. Okay, I don't care. So don't get caught up in title. Don't get caught up in what you're doing. Don't get caught up in your ministry. Don't get caught up in your gift. God will not endorse sin in any one of us. He calls for purity because he is holy.
Yes, he is.
He is holy. Therefore, if you truly want victory over the ravages of Satan in your life, then you must purify yourself before God. Cast off the unclean things and move on to your victory. A grudge is not worth your victory. A grudge is not worth your family that you're praying for. Look at your loved ones and the people that you are in warfare for. Because they don't know to be in warfare for themselves. You're in warfare for them. So purify yourself. Nothing is worth it. I'm casting off grudges. I'm forgiving you. I'm letting you go. Uh-oh, no. No. I'm not. Don't. I'm telling you, let that stuff go. So that you can win the victory. Even Isaiah, the prophet of God, went through this process before going forward with God's work. He said this. He said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of ceremonially unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Oh, let me just park right there, because many times when you're praying and studying the Word of God, you will catch a glimpse of Christ, and your sins compared to him, it will become apparent to you how sinful you are. Compared to Christ, you keep praying, you keep reading the word, and you will catch a glimpse of Christ. Just like Isaiah caught a glimpse of the throne of God, and he was like, "Oh, woe is me. You know, I thought I was a prophet of God. And I caught a glimpse of God, and now I'm saying, woe is me. Because I'm unclean." As you study the word of God, you see how far you are from him. I have seen how far I am from him. You know, I was talking to my sister the other day, another one of my sisters, and we were talking about that book I sent her. I sent a book, Andrew Murray's book on humility. And she said, "You know what? I read the first page." And she said, "I thought to myself, I ain't even saved." She said, "I read the first, and I thought, I ain't even saved. I don't even know Jesus." Because she saw how far she was from his writing. She saw how far she was from who Christ is. Humble. Oh my goodness. When you study the word, you'll see. You'll be just like Isaiah. Woe is me. Verse 6 says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Listen carefully. This has touched your lips. Your wickedness, your sin, your injustice, your wrongdoing is taken away. Your sin atoned for and forgiven.'" Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Amen. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall we send?'" See, God, you want to do warfare for the captain of the host of the Lord? Okay, you got to let this coal touch your lips. Touch your mouth. Isn't that a symbol of the mouth? Because that's where most of our junk comes from, is our mouth. And boy, Isaiah, boy, he allowed his lips to be touched with the coal. And then the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" "Then I said," says Isaiah, "here am I. Send me." It's Isaiah 6:5-8. Now Isaiah is ready to do the work of the Lord. Do you understand? God is not going to be goofing off on you. God does not care about your resume. He does not care how much experience you have, and you were raised in the church, and you're so-and-so's daughter or so-and-so's son. And God, folks, I'm telling you, and see, we need to get it right. We're talking about revival. Okay, this is revival right now. It's starting here. Right now with us, it's starting with revival. We got to purify ourselves. After this process, now you're ready to fight in the Lord's army. Oh, our prayer should be, qualify us, Lord, for your army. Qualify us for your army. You think you're qualified? Have you gone to him to be purified? Because if you haven't, you're not qualified to fight in his army yet. See, we wonder why. You know, I'm like, Lord, the enemy is just running roughshod over us because we don't get qualified to be soldiers in the army of the Lord. So we want success. We want to press in. We want to press forward. We want to possess the land in our home. Then we need to get qualified. We need to purify ourselves. The next point says, God longs to work his holy power through us so that we will have victory. But so often, we simply will not repent or even acknowledge our sin. Hallelujah. We won't even admit it. We justify our sin so much. We do. Therefore, we are held back from walking on his holy ground to our victory. Stop justifying your sin. Stop justifying your bad attitude. Stop justifying your bad behavior. It is not justified before God. There is no excuse you can give when you stand before him. Even now, there's no excuse that you can have that justifies your sin. Your flesh and blood will never defeat your enemy. Therefore, if you refuse to repent or forgive, your enemy is free to run roughshod over you. God gave you all the weapons. And if you're sitting there with your sword on the ground, your shield on the ground, Satan is going to take advantage of you. Yes, you've accepted Jesus Christ, but you don't have your armor on. Your armor is sitting on the ground. Your breastplate of righteousness is on the ground. The breastplate covers the heart. All kind of stuff in your heart. You won't forgive. You're hateful, stingy, selfish. Breastplate. Where's the breastplate of righteousness? It's supposed to be covering up your heart on the ground. Won't put it on. Heart is all exposed. So the enemy's coming right at you, right at your heart, because you leave it exposed. Jesus has given you everything you needed, but you don't pick up your weapons, your helmet of salvation on the ground. You wonder why Satan is playing mind games with you, because your helmet is on the ground. You wonder why you're believing his lies and acting on his lies, and your behavior is all bizarre, because the helmet is on the ground. See, the helmet covers the head, so he can't get into your mind, get into your thought process. You know how to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. When he comes with something, you immediately know, that ain't Jesus. I don't even receive that. Don't think those thoughts. Remember, sometimes we have all kind of bizarre thoughts, like, where did that come from? That's not Jesus. Don't let him think. Don't let the enemy convince you that's you. That's not you. If you have on your helmet of salvation, you're like, I cast that out in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you have to say it out loud. Don't think that those thoughts are yours. That's how he deceives us into thinking, look at what you're thinking about. Where is your mind at? Your mind's supposed to be on Jesus, but look at what you're thinking about. He's a liar. You take captive every thought and you make it obedient to Christ. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. It comes up in my, I rebuke that. No, I'm not going to do that in Jesus' name. I'm going to love. No, I'm not going to say that in Jesus' name. I'm going to love. So we need to get our armor on. purify ourselves. And as we purify ourselves, we cover ourselves up. Our heart is no longer exposed because we have on our breastplate of righteousness. Our mind is no longer exposed because we have on our helmet of salvation. We're putting the right things in our mind and in our head, you know, so that we are constantly thinking about Jesus. I'm telling you, you start praying and you start reading the word and you start just keeping that praise in your mind, you will be always thinking about it. Always thinking about it. You'll be doing your daily work, doing whatever you need to do. And every time you get up and just have to walk across the room, Jesus will come in your head. A praise will come in your head. The thoughts of God, I'm telling you, it will. If you, again, get your armor on, that helmet of salvation will be on and it won't be messing up your mind. The next point says, the word of God teaches us, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. Hallelujah. And then here's our scripture. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. And that's James 5:16. I'm telling you, the heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much. Can accomplish much. And it's made effective by God. God won't bless sin, so we got to get rid of the sin and purify ourselves so our prayers can be effective. And our prayers can accomplish much. Made effective by God. I'm convinced that's why our nation is in the condition it's in right now. The church. We have it. Jesus did everything for us, but our armor's on the ground. The church. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the church of Laodicea. Oh God, let it not be here. Let us not be the church of Laodicea, because we have, you know, in the United States in particular, because we're a rich nation. We have so much. We're so blessed. We got so many material possessions. We have so many nice things in this nation. That when I think of the church of Laodicea, I can't help but think about us. The church of the United States. You say you're rich. You say you have need of nothing. You say, this is Jesus saying this. And he says, but you don't even know that you're poor and you're wretched and you're naked. He used the term naked. Your armor's not on. And that's why Satan is taking the nation. Oh, folks, revival. Revivals begins with us putting our armor on. That's where the revival is going to begin. As I said, don't be looking for the tent. The big tent. Remember the big tent meetings back in the day? Don't be looking for the big tent. Out there. Look for the big tent here. And start doing what we need to be doing. So we can take back the land and take back our nation for our Lord Jesus Christ. He can do it. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by legislation. It's not by politicians. It's not by intellect. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is the strategy. This is his strategy. Get into prayer. Let my people rise up and come forth. Let the armies of the living God rise up in prayer. Your victory is up to you. Your response determines everything. I can't make you put on your armor. God won't even make you put on your armor. It's up to you to put on your armor. Fourth, only those who listen and obey will experience the totality of Christ's promised victory. Nothing delights or honors God more than an obedient spirit. And again, that's from our book. We must concede or surrender that our obedience is not dependent upon knowing all of the facts or seeing the way ahead. Our obedience is simply doing what our captain has commanded by faith. We must bend our will and to his and then walk in the direction he has ordered. Hallelujah. Our obedience does not depend on people saying they're sorry for what they did to us. See, we got to get that in our emotions. Sometimes we'll obey. Okay, Lord, I'm going to ask so-and-so. I'm going to tell Mary that I forgive her. And I'm going to tell Mary. And then back in the mind, you got this file that Mary is supposed to respond like this. Mary's supposed to break down in tears, like, oh, and Mary's supposed to say, I'm sorry too. And Mary's supposed to, you got your list on how Mary is supposed to respond to you coming to Mary and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Get it out, take that file out and burn it. Because Mary may not do that. Mary may look at you and just look blank with an attitude. Oh, Mary may say, well, I forgive you too. As somebody said to me one time, I forgive you too. And oh man, I had to put that flesh down. Because that flesh, man, the blood went to a low simmer. Said, Holy Ghost, help me now. Because sometimes the enemy is trying to steal away your moment of obedience. So be careful. He's cunning. Here you've gotten all the gumption, all the faith, and you're going to go and you're going to do it. And you walk in there and you're going to do it. And you say it, and you say it in love. And then, bam, they hit you back. Bam, that spirit hits you back in the face. Don't let Satan steal that moment of obedience. If they do it that, you just smile and just walk away. God bless. I'm free. I'm free. I've been obedient to the captain and I'm free. Don't let the enemy, let's not be ignorant of his devices, because he comes at us in all kind of ways. So as we are obedient, we want to stay in the Lord, listen and obey in totality to Christ. The next point says our obedience will have many enemies, such as our feelings, the whispers of others, and the taunts of Satan and his demons, like fear, strife, jealousy, etc. But we can overcome in the power of our captain. We can. Your obedience has enemies. Do you understand? Your feeling can be an enemy to your obedience. And that's why you got to get those feelings out of there. Your feelings do not control you. That's a lie. That's right. That we think our feelings control. The feelings do not control you. Right. You can feel a lot of things, but you can still take your will and be obedient. So get the feelings out of the way, other people out of the way. Because even people that love you, they mean well, they love you. They don't want to see people hurt you or take advantage of you. And they can be upset. And folks, obey the captain. That's right. You might not be able to explain it to them. And you don't have to. God does not require that you explain it to them. In time, they will see. I believe in time people will see the power of the living God in your life. It takes more power to walk in obedience than it does just go with your emotions and go with the flow. And then Satan is going to be whispering in your ear all along. He's going to try to make you afraid to be obedient. Oh, look at what people are going to say about you. And what are they going to do? And oh, man, everybody's going to be looking at you. Oh, and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. By the time he's done with your mind, you know, he's got you shot in a ditch somewhere. You know, don't let him get in there. Take captive every thought. So he uses fear. He uses strife. Oh, they're going to be mad at you and they're going to come at you. And he uses jealousy. That's another thing. We won't be obedient because we're jealous. of the person that we have to interact with or bless. You know, God told you to take someone some flowers. Why do I have to take her flowers? Everybody else took her flowers and nobody brought me flowers. So why do I have to give them flowers? Jealousy! Jealous! Oh, folks, I'm telling you, he's cunning. He'll send the jealous spirit after you to get you to not obey what Christ has told you to do. But we can overcome in the power of our captain. Christ said, and he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he who keeps my deeds, doing things that please me until the very end, until the very end, to him I will give authority and power over the nations. And that's Revelation 2:26. He'll give you authority. If you overcome, he'll give you authority over the nations. I mean, over everybody, all the people. That's what that means. Everybody. Not just your own group, over everybody. I will give you authority over the nations because you do the things that please me. The next point says your obedience to Christ tests and cultivates his ability to trust you with his power. Let me read that again. Your obedience to Christ tests and cultivates his ability to trust you with his power.
I got it.
Any captain knows that you do not release a soldier with a live weapon into battle until he has been trained in the art of discipline. Until he has learned to take and obey orders without being turned or distracted by the enemy. I'm telling you, discipline, discipline, discipline. That's what God is working in you right now. That's why you're going through some of the stuff. He's working on discipline. And if you're still wah, every time, wah, undisciplined or reacting, you know, instead of, you know, being able to stand and keep your place and keep your ground and hold the wall until the captain tells you, now it's time to go, and now it's time to move, and now it's time to swing. I'm an Army brat, guys. I was raised in the U.S. Army. I don't know if y'all knew that, but I was raised in the U.S. Army, okay? I'm an Army brat. My father was a Master Sergeant. Master Sergeant Julius Washington, honey, you did not cross him, okay? He raised us like little soldiers, and I'm telling you, you did not cross him. I mean, we just knew. He was so disciplined. He was so disciplined. I'm telling you. So I had a chance to be able to see the art of discipline, and that's what it took in order to be a good soldier. You didn't, you know, you focused and you didn't let everything that came along distract you and get you out of the way. Disciplined people are focused people. Until the captain waits until he has learned to take and obey orders without turning, without being turned or distracted by the enemy. Some of the stuff in your life are distractions. The captain has told you to do something, and the enemy has sent all this stuff to distract you. It's not that those things are not important. It's just that you don't have to do them, or you don't have to do them now. Don't let the enemy distract you from the job or the focus that the captain has given you. No captain wants a soldier in battle who is motivated by his or her emotions, but one who is motivated by the orders from the captain. Such a person who will worship and obey God in all circumstances is the most dangerous to the kingdom of Satan. He wants to distract you. The captain has given you orders. Oh, look for the distractions. Because he wants to get you off focus. He wants to get you off task. He wants to delay you. So folks, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Because, you know, when you're in the Army, boy, I'm telling you, when you join the Army, you don't just join the Army and they ship you off across seas somewhere. They don't do that. What do they do? Where's the first place you go?
Training.
Training. Boot camp. Boot is where you go first. And that's where some of us, we're in boot camp. And I'm amazed sometimes when you see people before boot camp and people after boot camp. Have you seen people like that? You know, I mean, they go in and they're all scraggly, beard, hair all long, and you know, all out of shape. And they go into the Uncle Sam's Army. And you see them in 6 months, and you're like, is that Billy? is that John? Oh, my God. Crew cut. Even their haircut talks discipline. Because I can't have hair in my face. I can't be distracted by hair. I gotta see the enemy all in shape, because they gotta run 6 miles a day. Weapon by their side. Not when they come around you all, but I know. As a matter of fact, I had some friends that were in the U.S. Army, and they were telling me about boot camp. And one of my friends told me, she was telling me, and I think I may have told you this story before, about when she left her weapon on the side of the tree.
Yes.
Because they had stopped for a break, and they had set the food out, and she left her weapon on the side of the tree and went to go to the food table, and when she came back, her weapon was gone. And the fear, she said, the fear gripped her heart.
Yeah.
And she looked over at the sergeant's table, and they were snickering. And she knew it was because they had taken her weapon.
Yeah.
And she had to go over there and ask them for her weapon back. And she said she went over there, and she went over there, and she said, please, sergeant, may I have my weapon? And he said, excuse me? And she spoke up louder. Excuse me, Captain, I'm Sergeant, may I have my weapon? And he stood up in front of everybody, and he says, Jones wants to know, where's her weapon? He did that. He said, I said, Jones wants to know, where's her weapon? And he looked at her, and he said, drop. And that means drop down and give me 20.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's what she had to do right in front of everybody. In the dirt, in the mud, she had to drop down and give him 20. Then they gave her back her weapon. I'm telling you, it's about discipline. And the reason why that happened, and the reason why he humiliated her, because I'd rather you be humiliated on American soil than be shot dead.
That's right.
Somewhere else. So sometimes the things that we're going through, guys, it's because God is getting you prepared for what's happening and what's going. We're walking around like we're Pollyanna in the war. You're on a battlefield and you're walking around like Pollyanna. Ooh la la la. Instead of realizing Satan's got you in his crosshairs.
That's right. That's right.
And he's getting ready to take you out and take your family out.
Yes, sir.
And you won't pray. Your armor's on the ground. You've dropped your weapon. Folks, I'm telling you, we're living in a serious time, because as the scripture says, he knows his time is short.
That's right.
So the intensity of the battle has increased and increased and increased. There's never been a time in the history of the world like it is now. The time is so short. All the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Jesus could come before we get home.
That's right.
He knows his time is short. So he has intensified his attack, not just on the world, but on believers.
Especially
believers. You can't afford to walk around the battleground with no weapon and no armor. He will take you out. And it's your fault, because Jesus gave you everything.
Yes, he did.
The prophet talked about setting your face like flint. He said, and Isaiah said, for the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You got to set your face like flint for the Lord. Flint, you know, you hit it and it just bounces off. You stay focused on what he's told us to do. Next point, in all cases, when someone says they can't obey God, it is more the case they won't obey God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because Jesus said, he that overcomes, you can overcome.
Right.
You don't want to. You like the taste of what you're doing. You like the unclean thing. Makes you feel good. But it won't stand up before the Father. Do you understand? It won't stand up. 2 Corinthians 10:5 gives us the important but achievable task of taking captive every thought and making it obedient to Christ. This is our work, which is attainable in Christ. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, but Christ in you can do it. Now we go all the way back to 1 John 3:22, which says, "And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us." All the way back to our key scripture for today. So now we really understand what this means. You know, because we like to quote scripture. We just ask and we receive. We just ask and we receive. Oh, Lord, we just remind you of your promises. Lord, whatever we ask, you can give us. You got to take on the whole counsel of God.
Sure.
How's your life?
Yeah.
Is there purity in your life? Are you doing what the captain tells you to do? Because that's what it says here. We receive from him whatever we ask because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us.
Amen.
So enough of this naming it and claiming it.
That's right.
If the captain didn't tell you what to name and what to claim, then just leave that alone. I know that was taught years ago, but folks, we got to get the whole counsel of God. In obedience to Christ, you will find everything you need, all the strength, the growth, the joy, the provision, the purpose, and the peace to win the battles of your life. Don't you want to win the battles of your life? Nobody in here, I don't believe anybody in here can say they don't have a battle going on in their life. You should be battling for somebody. If you're not battling for yourself, you need to be battling for your family, your friends. Because the world is not won yet. I just wanted to read this prayer out of our book from St. Francis of Assisi on page 184. It says, "You are holy, Lord, the only God. Your deeds are wonderful. You are strong. You are great. You are the Most High. You are Almighty. You, Holy Father, are the King of heaven and earth. You are three in one. Lord God, all good. You are good, all good, supreme good, Lord God, living and true. You are love. You are wisdom. You are humility. You are endurance. You are the rest. You are peace. You are joy and gladness. You are justice and moderation. You are riches and you suffice for us. You are beauty. You are gentleness. You are protector. You are guardian and defender. You are courage. You are heaven and our hope. You are our faith, our great consolation. You are our eternal life, great and wonderful. Lord God, almighty, merciful Savior." And that was a prayer. Just saying, he is everything. He is everything. That was a prayer by St. Francis of Assisi on page 184 of the book. Just saying how God is our everything. He is our everything. Again, I always pray, we must decrease and he must increase. Folks, the revival's got to start. Let the revival start taking place in us. In Jesus' name. Any comments?
I see a lot of
things
I know. Said, but one thing stood out to me about repentance. And I love repentance because as soon as you knew something comes in your mind or you say something, you repent right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knows
yes.
You're sincere. The greatest role model in the world, even as mm-hmm. you said, is so simple, mm-hmm. is Jesus Christ. Because when he came in the flesh, manifested in the flesh. He's the Spirit of God. He went through everything we went through here in the world. He experienced all the temptation, all that, and he defeated. I like what you said, and he defeated.
Yes.
He is my role model.
Yes.
So with that thought in mind, he says, think on the things of pure, think on the things of holy,
yes.
think on the things
yes.
that's just, think on the things that's true. Have the mind of Christ. And that's what I said, okay, Lord, I want to have your mind. Every time we pray, every time we read, every time we have pastors, I listen to you. I take it in. I say, establish this in my heart.
Yes.
So every day I hear it. That is the armor.
Yes.
You know, like she said, I was in the army, so I know what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the army, they train you. They train you, you know, boot camp and everything. She's right. When I came out, I was a different person.
Mm-hmm.
I was strong, my hair cut, I was neat, I was this, and she's absolutely right. And they own you. Let Jesus own you.
Yes, yes, yes. They own you, man. And I'm telling you, if you
so
dealt with, I used to know some Marines.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I went to school with some Marines.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought those fellows were brainwashed, man. When it came to the United States, honey. When it came to the United States, honey, they were brainwashed, honey. Would you say anything about you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, there was something. Anybody else? Comments? Questions?
In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we ask to forgive our sins, God will not only forgive us our sins but cleanse us." So, speaking in purity, we need to ask God to not only purify us but to help us to stay pure.
Yes, absolutely. It's an ongoing thing because we live on this earth. We're surrounded by the hordes of hell that's trying to tempt us every day. And I'm telling you, believer, child of the Most High God, you have got to have your armor on. You've got to guard. Oh, you've got to guard the precious gift within you. You've got to guard it because the enemy is always trying to douse your light. He's always trying to take you. So you have to, as Irene said, you got to continually pray. I find I need a refueling every morning. You know, yesterday's fueling was for yesterday, and today I need another refueling because the enemy is hitting my mind and trying to turn me all the time.
At least you recognize it through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You recognize it.
Yes, through Jesus Christ you recognize it. You'll see him. You'll see him coming. The more you study the Word of God, the more you'll see the enemy coming. You know, you can be in a conversation, and you can see where it's going. And the Lord's like, the Holy Spirit's like, get ready. Get ready. Here it comes. This is how I want you to respond. Be wise. Be wise. That's the revival. That's the revival that we're talking, the end time revival. I believe the people are going to be won by the end time revival in the people of God. And it starts with us. It starts with me getting that revival. Anybody else before we pray?
Well, it's God that's faithful and just as it says.
Yes.
To cleanse us.
Yes.
You know, we have to do the asking, but it's God who is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us.
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Mm-hmm. He does that work. Yes. Okay.
In your comment, Karen, when you said when we sin, then our armor is on the ground, that just took me back to Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they recognized that they were naked because they lost God's glory.
Yes.
And that's why it is important for us to live in obedience so that we could have God's glory and his protection over our lives.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, just like the church of Laodicea that Jesus was talking about, folks, don't let material possessions make you think that that is spiritual maturity. Or that don't let that think that that's your armor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your armor. Your bank account is not your armor. You know, look at where you are spiritually. Many unbelievers have riches.
Yeah.
So we got to look at where our armor is. Jesus is confronting this church and telling them, you say you're rich. It's you say you have your nice building and you've got your nice this and that. And you don't even know that you're blind. And you're poor, and you're wretched, and you're naked, and you don't even know it.
Come on.
So, folks, we got to shift. Like, Lord, put the eye salve. I was praying that, Lord, put eye salve on my eyes so I can see where I am blind, where I'm naked, where I'm missing it.
Yes.
So, folks, that's where it begins. Let him do that to us, for us.
I was just thinking, I heard pastors say this about the power of Jesus Christ. Sometimes when people get born again, they forget about Jesus Christ and think they can work in their own power and do what he called them to do.
Yes, oh, wow.
And they keep forgetting that, no, the power comes directly from him through you to do what he called you to do.
That's right.
Thought about, okay, he gave you two things. He gave you his grace and mercy. He gave you his love, but he gave you the power through the Holy Spirit. Yes. So when you become born again through the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus working through you. So through that faith working through him, as soon as something manifests itself, it's Jesus operating through you and it comes into existence you pray.
Yeah, when you pray, I'm telling you, it's all about him.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, this year, let's look forward to taking some land.
Yes.
Possessing the land in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, you know, wherever God has put you. We're going to take some land, but we're going to go through our cleansing. You know, I can't wait. I am so excited about getting to the war room because we're going to hit on some of these same topics again. And it goes even deeper into some stuff that I'm like, whoa, you know. So we will get there. So we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be children of the living God. Father, I thank you that you have called us to a holy priesthood, Lord God. And today, Lord God, we take up the mantle of who we are, Lord God. Father, I pray don't let our armor ever be on the ground once again, Lord God. Our armor should be on 24/7, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we don't take our armor off even at night, but we keep it on 24/7, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would take on the breastplate of righteousness over our heart. Lord, that we would cleanse our heart before you, Lord God. That you would do a work in our heart, Lord God. That we would have on the belt of truth. We would cast lies away from us, Lord God. That we would have on the helmet of salvation, oh Lord, that we would seek only those things that are edifying, those things that are truthful, those things that are honest, those things that are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, we would think on these things, Lord God. Father, I pray that our shoes would be peace. Lord, that we would be running toward peace and not toward mischief and not toward gossip and not toward strife. Oh God, we would be running toward unity and love and peace. Oh God, I pray right now that you begin a revival in us. Oh, God, we begin a revival in your people, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let it start in this room. Lord, let it spread all over Pueblo. Lord God, I pray not just for this house, but all the houses of God that proclaim Jesus is Lord. Oh, Lord, move a revival in our hearts. Raise up the churches all over the nation, Lord. Raise up the people of God. Oh, Lord, set that fire ablaze in them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray that we pray. I pray that we pray, Lord. I pray that we study your word. I pray, Lord, as we read your word, we will see a mirror looking back at us, Lord God, and show us how far we are from you. Oh, God, that you would move, Lord God. And I pray, finally, that we would overcome. That we would overcome. That we would overcome, Lord God. We would overcome our habits, Lord. We would overcome, oh Lord, the unclean things that we like. Oh God, let us overcome. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh God, we want to be ready for your soon coming. We want to be your bride without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Lord God. Oh God, so help us, clean us up. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh God, Lord, as we are poor, we are blind, we are naked. Oh God, I pray you would put eye salve on our eyes, Lord God, so that we can see. Oh, that you would give us the clothes and the robes that you would want us to wear, Lord God. That we would bring ourselves before you, that we would get in our prayer closet and on our face. Oh Lord, so that we can pray effectively for this world that is lost. We can pray effectively for our family. Oh, Lord, I pray, give us the heart of Christ. Give us the heart of Christ. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name, and we proclaim that you are our captain. You are our captain, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We proclaim it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.